Local leaders, top stories, the news that matters most to you. The News Drive at 5 with host Patrick Reynolds starts now.
Welcome to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk. Patrick Reynolds on your ride home. Thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday afternoon, 5:06 p.m. Eastern Time. Hope you're having a safe ride out there on the highways and byways. You know, I-77 and all the areas around Lake Norman can get pretty busy, especially late afternoon, cruising through the sunset. So please, eyes and ears open, pay attention. We want each and every one of you to get home safely to your families and be around for a long time, part of the WSIC News Talk family. Speaking of WSIC family, you just heard Dollars and Cents with Joshua Doby. Joshua is the president of North Main Financial, located in Cornelius. He's got a great show here on WSIC Thursday afternoons, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Dollars and Cents. Cents is a play on money as well as your knowledge of the financial world. Joshua Doby, great financial advisor, but I'll paraphrase his disclaimer on Dollars and Cents. His show does not replace a one-on-one visit with him, as everybody's situation is different and, you know, not legal advice out there on the airways, but he's a very knowledgeable individual with investments, finances, accounts, things like that. Well worth your while to tune in to Dollars and Cents. If you like the show, give North Main Financial in Cornelius a call. Great with retirement, college funds, investments, all that good stuff. North Main Financial brings you Dollars and Cents, hosted by Joshua Doby, every Thursday here at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on WSIC News. Right now, the News Drive at 5 rolls on with your local headlines, our top 5 at 5 stories that we are tracking for you this afternoon. Speed was a factor in a Taylorsville traffic fatality. The Statesville Council approved a large residential development. Davidson moves towards strategic town plans. The NCAA men's basketball tournament opened today in Charlotte. And ROTC students clean up Huntersville roads. The News Drive at 5 rolls on here. Our top story in Taylorsville. The North Carolina State Highway Patrol said speed contributed to the death of a motorcyclist who died last night. Troopers responded to a fatal Alexander County wreck on Kirby Lackey Road near Shoe Road around 8 p.m. They said Hiddenite resident Devontae Clark died when he lost control of his 2007 Honda motorcycle. Officials say a 1999 Ford Expedition traveling in the opposite direction struck Clark in the fatal wreck. The wreck ejected Clark from the motorcycle, and he succumbed to his injuries at the scene. Statesville resident Derek Sexton did not suffer any injuries. Sexton operated the Ford SUV. Troopers closed the area for 2 hours and determined that excessive speed contributed to the collision. Authorities say they do not expect to file charges in the case. In Statesville, the City Council approved a rezoning request for a 500-plus unit housing development planned for a 100-acre parcel off Moxville Highway. The proposed River Hills development, located off Moxville Highway between East Broad Street and River Hill Road, includes 33,600 square feet of retail space, 169 single-family homes, 34 cottages, and 336 apartments on a just over 107-acre site. About 46 acres have been set aside for a village green, pocket parks, a walking trail, landscape areas, and a pool. Kenneth Robertson told city council members during a public hearing at Monday's council meeting, quote, "This development and activity is not reasonable, and we ask you to vote no. This project is not what is best for our community and violates the rural nature of the area, forcing four-story apartment buildings on a predominantly agricultural area," end quote. Council member C.O. Johnson agreed, stating that the city of Statesville had paid good money for a uniform development ordinance to be developed only to grant that developer exceptions to allow a traditional neighborhood feel by decreasing the allowed setbacks for the development, as well as allowing apartment buildings that surpass the current height restrictions. He stated, quote, "We are ignoring a tool we paid good money for by allowing them to put up higher apartment buildings with lesser setbacks than we agreed was best for our city. Residential projects don't bring in money to the city when they don't use city water and electric, and for those reasons, I am voting against this." After nearly an hour of discussion, the council voted 7-1 to approve the rezoning. Council member Kimberly Wasson explained her reason for supporting the project. She said, quote, "This property came up for sale and was not preserved by the owners as agricultural land. Once a person purchases it, it is their property to do with what is legally allowed. The plan fits, and that's what this area was planned to be. I see no reason not to go ahead with it," end quote. The single-family homes will start at $400,000 and cottage homes at $200,000. A homeowners association will maintain open spaces, trails, and landscaping, as well as three drainage basins. The property will eventually need to be annexed into the city limits. The city staff recommended approval of the rezoning, and the planning board narrowly supported the request after several members were critical of the density of the development, according to the assistant planning director, Herman Calder. He stated, quote, "There were a lot of discussions about this development. Density was definitely what weighed most on their minds," end quote. Councilman C.O. Johnson cast the only vote against the project. Calder said, quote, "The developer has agreed to a conditional rezoning, allowing only the mini storage and no other use permitted under the zoning classification if we allow the proposed rezoning," end quote. "Build our value for the land would be roughly $5 million, and there have been no neighborhood complaints against the project, but the city staff did not recommend going forward with it." Calder explained, quote, "This area is mostly residential with minimal small business," end quote. But the council did not let that dampen their enthusiasm for the need for this type of amenity in the area. Councilman Steve Johnson asked, "Because this is a mostly residential area with some small businesses, wouldn't this be the ideal location for somewhere for those people to store their belongings? I think this would be a good place to have one," end quote. Councilman David Jones agreed with Johnson's assessment, adding that there doesn't seem to be a negative impact to the development proceeding. He said, quote, "I believe this would be considered the highest and best use for this particular piece of property. It does not seem to impact negatively our directive to protect the city's corridors, and I think it's reasonable that we proceed," end quote. The council unanimously approved the first reading of the rezoning request. In Davidson, blending fresh perspective with familiar topics, the town is set to adopt an updated strategic plan outlining objectives and priority pursuits for the next 2 years. At the recent town board work session, Assistant Town Manager Austin Nance provided commissioners with a comprehensive summary of issues discussed and ideas shared during February's two-day planning retreat involving town staff and elected officials. The retreat featured an assortment of group and individual assignment with new ideas and out-of-the-box thinking encouraged with those possibilities and suggestions shared. We'll have more about Davidson's town plans coming up. The News Drive at 5 continues on here at WSIC News Talk. I'm Patrick Reynolds. We'll see you after the break.
Stick around for more of the News Drive at 5 coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call 844-STUDIO-4 now to join in the conversation on the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 this afternoon, your Thursday afternoon on WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds, taking you home, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Listener lines are open. We would love to hear you here on the News Drive at 5. Getting back to the town of Davidson, the recent story, the categories of stated municipal goals remain constant. Their new message, culled from retreat feedback, resulted in multiple areas of reshaped and redefined Davidson Town goals. The types of tweaks made under six of the town's seven strategic plan categories, with topics that include historic preservation, economic development, affordable living, and connecting people and places, is illustrated by a mission statement wording change for the town's goal, a healthy, livable, and vibrant community topic, where efforts to create livable spaces and healthy places to enhance the quality of life for all residents was adopted as an update and amplification of the previous well-planned livable community objective. Pursuit of steps blending stated objectives like ways to unite the preservation of historic homes with efforts to provide affordable workplace housing is also stipulated in the revised strategic plan, which is slated for final board consideration and potential adoption on March the 26th. The amended strategic plan for 2024 and 25 also folds evolving municipal efforts like the Vision Zero Pedestrian and Mobility Safety Program into appropriate categories and places enhanced emphasis on the Sustainability Natural Assets category, tied in with the recent municipal staff addition of Sustainability Manager Kayla Kovach and short and long-range town goals, including efforts to achieve carbon neutrality by 2037 to coincide with the town's bicentennial. Also, at the March 12th session, the board held a public hearing related to plans to extend the time frame to use bond-backed debt from a three-pronged funding package authorized by town voters in 2017. Back in 2017, Davidson residents approved a general obligation bond referendum that included $6 million for transportation and mobility projects, $5 million for greenway improvements, and $4 million for parks and recreation projects. By state statute, approved GO bonds must be issued within 7 years, but a three-year extension allowed through what Finance Director Piet Swart told commissioners was a relatively common practice, even without the circumstances surrounding the COVID pandemic that disrupted many plans and projects. In 2021, the town issued $4.1 million of the available bonds with a variety of projects in each category, with the bulk of the funding for park projects. And in 2023, the town issued $3.9 million with mobility and greenway projects the highest priorities. From the $15 million total available in 2017, the town has used or committed over $8 million, nearly all of the parks and recreation $4 million, just over half of the greenway $5 million, and less than one-third of the mobility $6 million. In the mobility transportation category, anticipated town contributions to the Potts-Sloan-Beatty connector, the Beatty Street side path, and the planned upgrades to the Beatty and North Main Street intersection would account for more than $3.7 million, with a town project to realign and improve the intersection of Concord, Pine, and Gray Roads requiring just under $500,000. In the greenways category, $1.75 million toward the Rocky River to Summers Walk link and $930,000 towards the West Branch Rocky River Carolina Thread Trail section are anticipated matching contributions using the remaining funds. The extension would allow the town to establish firm plans and timelines for using the funding before triggering the debt financing that begins when bonds are issued. From Huntersville, a so far unoccupied apartment complex tops a recently released list of the top 100 delinquent taxes in Mecklenburg County. The complex off of Old Statesville Road, which is operated through The Point at Caldwell, LLC, owed over $326,000 as of March the 8th, according to a posting of the tax amounts on the county website. One developer, who showed up multiple times on the list under various LLC names, said they were appealing the amount they are reported to owe. Another, who was in the top 10 list but was not a developer, noted they are working to address totals with the city of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County, but noted the amount had been paid. In a statement late Wednesday afternoon, Mecklenburg County tax collector Neil Dixon said Tax bills were due on September 1st, 2023, and payable through January 5th, 2024. All unpaid tax bills become delinquent on January 6th, 2024, and were assessed the statutory interest charges monthly until paid. Taxes under appeal are not relieved or relieved of delinquency when a taxpayer whose property is under appeal pays the bill timely and their value is later reduced, they will receive a refund. If a taxpayer whose value is under appeal chooses not to pay timely, the bill becomes delinquent and accrues interest. If their appeal results in a value reduction, the new bill amount is delinquent and interest is charged to the reduced amount due. North Carolina law prohibits tax collected from initiating enforcement action when a delinquent bill is under appeal. The full top 100 list includes what appear to be several developers, those who own hotel properties, townhomes, and self-storage locations, all owe thousands, or in some cases tens of thousands of dollars, according to Mecklenburg County. In Statesville, Bobcat Company has been recognized as one of the Fast Company's 2024 Most Innovative Companies. The Most Innovative Companies honor places Bobcat in the spotlight among other organizations that are transforming industries and shaping society. Bobcat is recognized in Fast Company's Most Innovative Companies Manufacturing Award category. Bobcat has advanced its manufacturing facilities both in terms of its footprint and the technology within its many global locations. Recent updates to its facilities have included a $9.3 million automated press system in its Gwinner, North Dakota manufacturing facility, technology in its Statesville facility that streamlines component inspection, and a new robotic forming press in its Johnson Creek, Wisconsin location that minimizes operators' manual labor while improving precision. All of these advancements have led to improved efficiencies, greater precision, and more ergonomic work sites for its employees. With a focus on innovation, Bobcat is paving the way for electrification and autonomy in equipment design and development. Since 2022, the brand has launched several industry-first machines, including the all-electric T7X compact load tracker, the all-electric concept S7X skid steer loader, and the fully electric and autonomous concept pair of loaders, the Rogue X and the Rogue X2. These new machines have garnered many new patents and patent pending, signifying how Bobcat is defining a new work experience while bringing sustainable solutions to the marketplace. This year's Most Innovative Companies program showcases 58 industry categories, with manufacturing, health, climate, energy, and AI among its popular categories. A panel of Fast Company editors and writers identified the companies driving progress through the world and across industries, elevating thousands of submissions through a competitive application process. The result is a globe-spanning guide to innovation today, from early-stage startups to some of the most valuable companies in the world. Proud to have Statesville as part of that progress. More news out of Statesville. Energage has presented Energy United with its 2024 Top Workplaces USA Award. The Top Workplaces program has a 15-year history of surveying more than 20 million employees and recognizing the top organizations across 60 markets for the regional Top Workplaces Awards. Winners of the Top Workplaces USA list are chosen based solely on employee feedback. Thomas Golden, Chief Executive Officer of Energy United, said, quote, "We are humbled and honored to receive this national top workplace designation and give all the credit to our employees. Additionally, we are so grateful for the support we received from our members and board of directors. This award is a direct reflection of their commitment to serving our members, a core principle of the Energy United way," end quote. The cooperative's unique culture, known by employees as the Energy United Way, is outlined by four core principles: to be safe, secure, present, and member-focused. In November, Energy United received the 2023 Top Workplaces Award from the Charlotte Observer. As a result of this award, the cooperative was nominated and selected as a winner of the 2024 Top Workplaces USA Award. Another company in Statesville winning some awards. More news out of Statesville and more award winners. Chief Glenn Kerfees of the Statesville Fire Department announced the successful completion of a comprehensive inspection conducted by the North Carolina Association of Rescue and EMS. The inspection has not only resulted in the reaffirmation in existing certifications, but has also led to the acquisition of several new certifications, showcasing the department's commitment to excellence and community safety. The Statesville Fire Department has undergone successful reinspection of medical responder, heavy rescue provider, high angle rescue, and confined space rescue certifications, demonstrating the department's dedication to maintaining high standards of service delivery in these critical areas. You are listening to WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds, News Drive at 5. We'll be back right after this.
Stick around for more of the News Drive at 5, coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call in now to speak with Patrick Reynolds on the News Drive at 5. The number to dial is 844-STUDIO-4. WSIC. Local starts here.
News Drive at 5 continues on here on WSIC News Talk. I'm Patrick Reynolds at the controls this hour. Taking you home 5 to 6 every afternoon. Weekdays on WSIC News Talk, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. We would love to hear from you about pretty much whatever's on your mind. We've got the local headlines here to catch you up on. Feel free to call in and chime in. We'd love to hear your opinion. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. More out of the story that we were talking about earlier before the break with the Statesville Fire Department. So a few more details on this. In addition to the reaffirmed certifications, the fire department has been awarded new certifications in trench rescue, swift water rescue, agricultural rescue, and surface water rescue. These certifications are a testament to the hard work, training, and professionalism exhibited by every member of the Statesville Fire Department, Kerfees said. He also said, quote, "We are proud of our team's accomplishments and their dedication to serving our community with integrity, compassion, and proficiency." These certifications, along our esteemed ISO 1 rating and re-accreditation with the Commission on Fire Accreditation International and the Center for Public Safety Excellence Incorporated, are a testament to our commitment to excellence in emergency response. End quote. He emphasized that the acquisition and maintenance of these certifications reinforced the department's commitment to ensuring the safety and well-being of the community in various emergency situations. In Charlotte, the Queen City is hosting 4 games in round 1 of the NCAA tournament today. Businesses in the area are preparing for what will be a very busy weekend. The Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority said they can't predict exactly how many people will be coming into the Queen City for the NCAA tournament in Charlotte. They also said they can't predict how much money this will bring to the city, but if last year's host cities were any indication, millions of dollars could be on the table. For local businesses, it's always a busy few weeks. One Tar Heel fan said, quote, "All of the restaurants are busy, all of the bars. Anybody that can't go to the game is going to find an up-down bar to watch it at." End quote. This year, the impacts will hit the Queen City head-on. Dilwood Neighborhood Grills, Matt Wolforth, said, quote, "Now it's more than just an actual game time because there are fans and teams in from out of town for days ahead of time and maybe even longer," end quote. Well, local businesses in and around Uptown are gearing up for the games. Dilworth Neighborhood Grill has all hands on deck. You just have to move all your people around. Managers are also servers and cooks are also food runners, and it's a hard 2 weeks. Last year's host cities reported the tournament brought in more than just basketball. Greensboro said the first and second rounds last year brought the town more than $5 million in Birmingham, Alabama. it was worth more than $10 million. Wolforth said, quote, "Now, regardless of how your favorite team is doing, your personal team is always in it until the end," end quote. Tickets were still available for Thursday's and Saturday's games at the News Drive at 5 broadcast time. Also out of Charlotte, several Mecklenburg County roads will see improvements in the coming year, the North Carolina Department of Transportation announced this week. According to the NCDOT, a $3.4 million contract was awarded to Charlotte-based Blythe Construction for 7.3 miles worth of work. The contract includes milling, resurfacing, and shoulder reconstruction to sections of roads. The following list: W.T. Harris Boulevard will get an upgrade, Ballantyne Commons Parkway, Monroe Road, and Bellhaven Boulevard. There are sectioned off particular pieces of road that will get the work. Blythe Construction can start as soon as mid-April and complete the project by fall of 2025. In Cornelius, the Peninsula Community Foundation, a group of neighbors that facilitate funding to empower the work of area nonprofits, recently awarded $4,000 to the Answer Scholarship. Answer Scholarship is a Charlotte-based charity founded in 2006 that provides college scholarships, mentoring, and professional development to mothers in Mecklenburg and 11 surrounding counties, including Iredell and Lincoln. Since its inception, the program has served 125 mothers, awarding more than $700,000 in scholarships. Peninsula Community Foundation board member Tom McGinnis said, quote, "We're impressed with Answer Scholarship's comprehensive approach to supporting moms as they earn a college degree. The organization is changing lives and helping to build economic mobility in our region," end quote. 20 mothers are benefiting from the program during the current academic year, which includes women studying at UNC Charlotte, Johnson C. Smith University, Belmont Abbey College, and Central Piedmont Community College, among others. Answer Scholarship Development Director Shannon Walker said, quote, "Our founder, Susan Anderson, was the recipient of scholarships that helped further her education, so she wanted to pay it forward to help women, particularly mothers, to help set them up for greater success and independence. But as the program really begins to grow, she recognized that moms need a little bit more support than the traditional student would need when they go to school," end quote. That realization spawned the organization's Mentors for Moms program, in which a volunteer mentor offers support and guidance on balancing family, work, and school. Mentors are there to provide advice and motivation, or to simply serve as a sounding board for the scholar they've been paired with. Walker said, quote, "In addition to the scholarship, which is always a big help for anyone, our scholars needed a cheerleader. They're normally working a full-time job, going to school full-time, and raising their kids, so they need more support than just a tutor and a couple of books. Our mentors are the folks that come in to cheer them along and make sure they understand all the resources available to them," end quote. The resources available to the scholars include personal and professional development workshops held on a monthly basis, featuring lessons in financial planning, personal wellness, public speaking, resume building, and parenting. Additionally, Answer Scholarship partners with other service-based organizations in the area, like Dress for Success or Crisis Assistance Ministry, to fill other gaps for mothers in the program. Walker said, quote, "If we can't help them with something, we know one of these partners can. Things are going to happen along the way, but we don't want anything to keep these women from reaching their goal of a college degree so they can go on to set their families up for economic mobility," end quote. Scholarships are available for women 25 years and older who must be the primary caregiver to at least one school-age child enrolled in grades pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. Other requirements include status as a U.S. citizen, enrollment or acceptance as a full-time degree-seeking student at an accredited institution, a willingness to participate in the Mentors for Moms program, including attendance at monthly professional and personal development workshops, and the ability to maintain a cumulative GPA of 2.5 or higher. Applications are accepted annually from November 1st through February 1st. Included among the year's class of scholars is Sharika Rawal, a Huntersville mother of two, first pursuing a nursing degree from Pfeiffer University. Rawal enrolled in college upon completing high school, but ultimately dropped out due to obstacles she faced at that time. She said, quote, "My story is very complex. The challenges I've faced as a woman, mother, and wife have been significantly difficult, but I'm still here and I'm still standing," end quote. Answer Scholarship's graduation rate is 80%, which is nearly double the national graduation rate for non-traditional students. The Mentors for Moms program is credited for much of that success, highlighting the need for volunteer mentors during the upcoming 2024-2025 academic year. Mentors are required to hold a 2 or 4 year degree and must be willing to commit 10 to 12 hours per month with their scholar. Those interested will be required to participate in a 45-minute phone interview with the Mentors for Moms program. Patrick Reynolds taking you home here on WSIC News Talk Radio, the News Drive at 5. We'll be back right after this.
Keep it here. We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick straight ahead on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Now, back to more of the News Drive at 5 with your host, Patrick Reynolds, on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds, taking you home this Thursday afternoon at 5:48 p.m. Eastern Time, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. If you'd like to chime in on the local headlines or what's going on in your neck of the woods. In Huntersville, students dedicated to serving their community recently cleaned up two heavily traveled stretches of Huntersville Road. The Air Force Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps at North Mecklenburg High School are part of the Adopt a Highway program through the North Carolina Department of Transportation. The group adopted 2 miles of roadway that border the school, North Carolina 115, from Alexandria Road North to Hambright Road and Alexandria Road East, from North Carolina 115 to Statesville Road. The students proudly collected bags full of trash and a car tire. The JROTC program is designed to prepare high school students for leadership roles in the community through character development and citizenship programs. In Statesville, for over 15 years, Haunted Statesville has presented ghost walks designed to offer a distinctly memorable experience. Participants will learn the true haunted history of the city, where tales of spirits, ominous creatures, mysterious deaths, and eerie alleyways come to life. The Sharp House Historic Players will lead this captivating journey into the spirit world on certain nights this fall, with new stories to share. Haunted Statesville weaves together the finest eerie tales, legends, and ghost lore from the town. The Haunted Statesville Ghost Tours are offered the fourth Saturday from March through September. Tours will begin at 8 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. In October, tours will be added and held on October 18th and 19th, 25 and 26, and tours will start at 6:30, 7, 7:30, and 8. So good that they're boosting up in the Halloween-heavy month of October. Each tour takes about 60 to 75 minutes. Ticket holders will receive information on starting location prior to the tour. Each tour is limited to 20 people. Guides will have flashlights. Guests may bring small flashlights. This is a guided walking tour covering a number of blocks throughout the downtown area. Guests are encouraged to wear comfortable shoes and clothing appropriate to outdoor weather. No coolers or alcoholic beverages will be permitted. Tickets are $15 per person. Tours are limited to 25 people per tour. Advance registration and tickets are required. You can purchase tickets at downtownstatesville.com. The tour is recommended for everyone ages 8 and older. And you can become part of the Haunted Statesville Ghost Tours. Organizers are seeking enthusiastic individuals to audition for the opportunity to lead the tours. Auditions will be held on Tuesday, April the 2nd, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the historic Sharp House located on South Center Street in Statesville. So this is a chance to immerse yourself in the rich history of the states of the city. Haunted Statesville ghost tours are provided to you thanks to the Downtown Statesville Development Corporation, the Historic Sharp House, the Sharp House Historic Players, and the City of Statesville. For more information, visit downtownstatesvillenc.org. In Mooresville, the second annual Mooresville Day Festival, originally scheduled for this Saturday afternoon, has been postponed due to rain in the forecast. The town moved swiftly in rescheduling the event, which is now planned for Saturday, April 27th from noon to 4 p.m. downtown. Continued updates can be found on the Mooresville Arts and Events Facebook page. The sesquicentennial and one may not have the same type of marketing mojo that fueled 2023's commemoration of Mooresville's 150th year, but now it's a municipal birthday tradition. The clear lesson from last year that residents and others enjoy a nice spring birthday bash that helped establish Mooresville Day as an every year event. Organized by the Mooresville Arts and Events Division and the Parks and Recreation Department, the second annual Mooresville Day Festival celebrating art, food, and entertainment will occupy several downtown blocks of Main Street and Broad Street. The four-hour festival will feature more than five dozen artisan market booths, 16 interactive attractions for all ages, and 31 food and beverage vendors. Live entertainment, including the high school mascot dance-off, music, and dancing, will also be included in the day's activities. The event is free and open to folks of all ages and well-behaved pets. Parking will be available at public and church lots around the downtown area, and the town will also provide free shuttle service from 11:45 a.m. until 5 p.m. between 1 Mooresville Center, which is the former police station on West Iredell Avenue, and the Charles Mack Citizen Center downtown. For more information, visit mooresvilleday.com. Recapping some of our top stories from earlier in the news drive at 5 in Taylorsville. North Carolina State Highway Patrol said speed contributed to the death of a motorcyclist who died last night. Troopers responded to a fatal Alexander County wreck on Kirby Lackey Road near Shoe Road around 8 p.m. They say Hidden Night resident Devontae Clark died when he lost control of his 2007 Honda motorcycle. Officials say a 1999 Ford Expedition traveling in the opposite direction struck Clark in the fatal wreck. The wreck ejected Clark from the motorcycle, and he succumbed to his injuries at the scene. Statesville resident Derek Sexton did not suffer any injuries. Sexton operated the Ford SUV. Troopers closed the area for 2 hours and determined that excessive speed contributed to the collision. Authorities say they do not expect to file charges in the case. In Statesville, the City Council on Monday approved a rezoning request for a 500-plus unit housing development planned for a 100-acre parcel off Moxville Highway. The proposed River Hills development, located off Moxville Highway between East Broad Street and River Hill Road, includes 33,600 square feet of retail space, 169 single-family homes, 34 cottages, and 336 apartments on a over 107-acre site. About 46 acres have been set aside for a village green, pocket parks, a walking trail, landscaped areas, and a pool. Councilmember C.O. Johnson stated the city of Statesville had paid good money for a uniform development ordinance to be developed, only to grant the developer exceptions to allow a traditional neighborhood feel by decreasing the allowed setbacks for the development, as well as allowing apartment buildings that surpass the current legal restrictions. After nearly an hour of discussion, the council voted 7-1 to approve the rezoning. Single-family homes will start at $400,000 and college homes at $200,000. A homeowners association will maintain open spaces, trails, and landscaping, as well as three drainage basins. The property will eventually need to be annexed into the city limits. The city staff recommended approved of, approval of the rezoning, and the planning board narrowly supported the request after several members were critical of the density and development. The meetings continue on. Towns are putting their pieces in place. Speaking of pieces in place, men's basketball is setting their pieces in place right down the road from us in Charlotte and around the country as the NCAA men's basketball tournament got underway today. And that, I'm sure, will be a whole lot of information for the scoreboard hosted by Joe Berg coming up right after the News Drive at 5. Joe is also the producer here at the News Drive at 5, so he's got a very short commute flipping from one mic to the other. Buddy, through the glass, how you doing this afternoon? How's your Thursday going?
It's great because we got NCAA tournament. It's the best time of the year. I'm happy.
I can see your screen in there. You've got multiple games going. You're keeping track of it. This is one of those occasions. We did one last month, but there's one of these occasions where you're following live sports as it happens on the scoreboard. And from experience, that's a whole lot of fun.
It is, and it's definitely a different feel. We're going to be getting updates all throughout the scoreboard tonight on a couple of games that'll be going on. And then we'll have a few more tip off in the middle of the show. It's fast fire right now.
Well, News Talk Radio keeps you updated as the day goes along. So those of you that are not in front of a TV, you're not watching games, you're kind of disconnected a little bit, keep it right here, the WSSC social channels for the scoreboard with Joe Berg, and keep that dial placed right here. Can you give us any teasers of what we've already had happen this afternoon? I don't want to give away the plot for the scoreboard, but what do you got coming up? What can you tease for the audience?
Well, North Carolina got things done. They handled business against the 16 seed.
Understood.
Understandable. Pretty obvious there. But we do have a couple of upsets that have already taken place. Brackets getting busted already.
Yep.
Almost a scare with a 14 seed possibly maybe was going to upset a 3 seed. It's already a mess.
That is why they nickname it March Madness. Could, with a third M in there, we could call it a March Madness mess.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right about that one.
Well, in the hallways here at WSIC, we've had a little chit-chat and conversation about the 16 and 1 seeds. Do you see any of that happening this year? Maybe that 16 seed upsetting a 1?
I don't think so. I just don't think it's the year for it. The 1 seeds are far and above better than other years. They're the top 3 1 seeds, they've separated themselves in that 4th 1 seed. There's not really a chance that they lose.
Okay. Joe Berg's prediction. You can hear more of the NCAA men's basketball tournament on the scoreboard coming up right after the News Drive at 5. Thank you so much for tuning in for your local headlines here on WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds. Have a good night. Scoreboard coming up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.